Did you know that God is doing miracles today? Thousands and even millions of people are discovering the presence of God. He's speaking to them. They're experiencing salvation, healing, and deliverance all over the world. And that's our focus today of this program, to share this with you.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise the Lord. It is another beautiful day. Today I am going to a meeting at the Voice of the Prophets, we call the VOP, that happens in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And the particular session I'm going to is with Randy Clark, sessions 9 and 10. Here is a wonderful message as Randy tells his story.
I'm going to give you the prophetic foundations now for why I have faith for what he's going to do today. It is important. Everything happens by faith. We're saved by faith. We receive by faith. We act. Our gifts are activated by faith. We pray in faith. But what we really are expecting God to do is important. Why do I have faith? He's going to show up today. Well, one reason is, since God filled me with the Holy Spirit the first time when I was a Baptist pastor in 1984 in March, every time I've taught on this, he showed up. Thousands of times. Never once did he not show up. So my faith is in his faithfulness and the track record that we have. My faith is also not in my ability, but in the fact that he chose me. That he prophesied, God used John Wimber to prophesy through me, to me, I mean. And John had this prophecy, and he said, God is going to use you in the nations to pray for activation of gifts and filling with the Holy Spirit. Then he said, you're a prince in the kingdom of God. I didn't feel like a prince. I felt like a pauper. I'd actually gone up to John and actually said, John, I'm not worthy of you even praying for me, but I brought my deacons. Will you pray for them? He said, no, I'm going to pray for you. Now, I didn't know for some time, but John Wimber, the first two times we met, and I had this little church on Easter, we may hit 140, but the village was only 120. But normally we ran around 100 people. I'm not successful. I always felt like I'd go to the city and plant a church, and all my church has been in the cornfields and little villages. I felt like a failure. And that would all change in this prophetic moment. Later on, Blaine Cook told me that John actually heard God's audible voice tell him that, and it happened the first two times that we met. Right after that, within weeks, I went to my first charismatic church in Southern Illinois, and a friend of mine was pastoring. I'd never been to one and in Southern Illinois where I was at, and this guy came up to me. He's a law student, and he's an elder in their church, and he's prophetic. I guess they would have called him the most prophetic guy in their church. He came up to me. This is the first time I had this happen. He said, I had a vision of you, and in this vision, I saw you, and you were standing like an archer, and you had a bow. And you reached behind you, and you pulled out an arrow, and you strung it, and you let it go. And God says he's going to use you to be a releaser of people into ministry. That was April of 1984. I had a man in my church who got angry at me. He almost punched me out in Hardee's and because he had an anger issue, because he had been beaten a lot by his dad, put out on the street at 12 years old, and became a heroin addict and ran into a police car while he was high on heroin, ended up in prison, and got saved in prison. Anointed and broken. Very broken. Very anointed. And because father issues, and a pastor's often seen that father role, he became angry at me. Grabbed me by the shirt. I think an angel's holding his fist. I can still see that moment. I don't think I need PTSD healing on that one, maybe. But anyway, as the last time I had seen him, he left my church very angry. I get a call 10 years after that first vision, April 1994. He said, would you come to my house? I said, yeah. And I took my wife with me for protection. And we showed up. And I remember he said, I was asking God. I was in prayer. And I was asking God, God, I want you to show me what's wrong with Randy Clark. I know something's wrong with him, and I want you to show me what's wrong with Randy Clark. And he said, which I said that to say this, he was not in a psychological predisposition to have a good thought about me. Because some people think, oh, that's just psychological stuff. And he said, all of a sudden I got this scripture. I didn't know what it said. I looked it up, and it said, the sons of Issachar shall be blessed. And the Lord said, you were meant to be one of Randy's sons. And you'll not be blessed when you're in rebellion against your spiritual father. He said, then I went into a vision. And I saw you. You were standing like an archer. And you had a bow. And you reached behind yourself and pulled out an arrow. And you let the arrow go. And the Holy Spirit said, Randy is a releaser of people in the ministry. You were to be one of those arrows. He had no idea that 10 years earlier, to the month, I'd had that exact same vision prophecy that was given to me. My faith is in the prophetic word that God gave me through John Wimber and through the prophetic word God gave me through this lawyer student and through the prophetic word that God gave me through the man that was so mad at me. His name was David. Now, having looked at the prophetic reasons I believe, the biblical reasons I believe, the historical reasons I believe for God to move today, I want to end by sharing testimonies of what we've seen God do. Some of them will be abbreviated to what they normally are, but still give them. Years ago, I prayed in Haugesund, Norway for a young Norwegian named Leif Hetland. The power of God came upon him and he fell to the floor. I gave him this prophecy. I see you in a dark place all around you. It's darkness, but God's going to make you light in the midst of the darkness. You're going to make a way where there's been no way. You're going to be a bulldozer. And the power of God hits him, knocks him to the floor, and he shook for 2.5 to 3 hours. He didn't understand what God was saying to him or what I had said to him. God said through me in the prophetic word. He didn't really understand it. And he gets his neck broke and his back broke in the ensuing year. And he's laying in traction as he's there. The Lord's, he's thinking about what these words and these experiences. And he realized, I shouldn't remain a pastor. I need to go into dark places. And when he went to Pakistan for the first time on the first night of his first meeting, just a few thousand people there. And a quadriplegic Muslim that his friends had brought got up and walked, and they are celebrating it. And the next night there were thousands, and by the last night there were scores of thousands of people that had come. And Leif Hetland, only 15 years later, had seen over 1 million people come to Jesus Christ through the power, evangelism, and healing. The last he told me is at least 1,350,000 people have come to the Lord through his ministry. Heidi Baker in Toronto, she came forward. I knew her name was Heidi, that's all I knew. And I said, Heidi, God wants to know, do you want the nation of Mozambique? And she's crying. She raised her hand. I said, yes. And I said, God is going to give you the nation of Mozambique. You're going to see the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead be raised. Power of God hits her instantly. She feels like she's burning up. She's sweating profusely. I felt like God stuck me in an oven instantly. Power's going through her so much. She says, God, you're going to kill me. And she heard the voice of the Lord say, good. I need you dead. That's when you should get scared. But within the next 18 months, it went the other way. They lost $1 million. She gets MS. Her husband has cerebral malaria. Her daughter has malaria three times. Her son's going through an emotional crisis. And the government confiscates their buildings. It looks like the very opposite of what I said. And she's praying for all the blind, deaf, lame, and none of them's getting healed for 18 months. And I was sharing this sermon one time. I used to say it in 3 months. Three women in three provinces were healed. And she says, no, Randy, that's wrong. I had it wrong. 3 days, not 3 months. I saw three women blind. They all got healed. And the other thing was they all had the same name. My name in Portuguese, Ida. Then all of a sudden, God does the opposite. And when she was on the floor in Toronto, God said, you prophesy, you invite these 12 men to join you. God didn't say ask them if they do. He said, ask these 12 men to join you, and when they do, then you lay hands on them and prophesy to them everything Randy just prophesied to you. And when she did, she said, Regu, Johnny, you're going to be the first two to raise the dead. Pray for all of the dead that you can. They've had great miracles. The blind have seen, the deaf by the hundreds, if not thousands. The deaf, every deaf person she prays for in Mozambique on the back of a truck bed, flatbed, she begins, bring me your deaf, they're going to hear. And all the deaf hear. And then that Muslim village comes to Jesus. Many in the village comes to the Lord. In the first 15 to 20 years, Heidi had seen over 1 million people come to Jesus Christ. Henry Madaba in Ukraine and Kyiv, his church received an impartation. It just wasn't him. It's the whole church. It was crazy. It was unusual. I don't know, Rex, Lois, if you were with me that when that happened. I think you were. Would you guys just wave your head that people know I'm not making up stories? Thank you. I tell you, it was amazing. I could just cry, and I think about watching him touch a whole church. It's like almost everybody was touched. And after that, in the next 10 months, Henry and his church had started seen in three different cities that had no evangelical church of any kind, had seen 20,000 people in each city come to the Lord, 60,000 new believers, and they started new churches. And I talked to him about 15 years later, and he told me, he said, Randy, and that was probably 5 to 10 years ago, he said, Randy, there's been over 1 million people, because in the Middle East, we work. In Russia, we work. In Ukraine, we work. In Western and Eastern Europe, we work. But we work in Southeast Asia, particularly Thailand. And he said, there's been over 1 million people come to the Lord. I'm thinking that's 1,123,350,000 people. That doesn't include so many other whole movements. I think of Dano, you really got my attention. You trained a worship team and they saw 1.2 million or three. 1.2 million that come to the Lord. You, your church was so powerfully touched in this move of God. A lot of your key people were sent out and became missionaries. I remember Cletty telling me just so many went to the mission field. I think of Chris Gore, and I want to mention him because he said, why don't you ever talk about me when you give all these people? I said, I didn't know that I prayed for you. He said, yeah, I was. Actually, Charles was right here. It was at Life Center when he was right here, Chris Gore. He hadn't seen hardly anybody get healed. He wanted healing. He was going for healing. He hadn't seen hardly anybody, and he'd been praying for healing, but it wasn't happening. And right there, they say, power of God comes on him. There's prophecy for him. And he, right after that, it starts happening. He's already saved. He's already been filled with the Spirit. But there's something God did. Something he broke him through into an area. How many would like that? I'm telling you, God wants to multiply it. God does want to multiply. And I remember I was preaching here one time on this subject, on this sermon. I was preaching here, and it got to the part where he said, come, Holy Spirit, to end with a prayer. And there was a guy right there where you're seated. That's a hot seat. This guy's kind of short, stocky. dreadlocks, and he hit the floor, and he starts screaming. I mean, he's screaming, ah! He's really loud, and I came down and so I could watch. I like to watch that stuff, and I'm looking down the aisle at him, and he looked at me and said, oh, get away from me! Get away from me! Get away from me! I'm gonna die! And I said, you're not gonna die. Nobody's died yet. More! 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 And Todd White, who had been praying for 700 people, none of them had been healed. I had him speak for me in Denver one time, and he's telling that story, and he said, and the following week, I had my first healing. A man on the job came, a truck driver, and I get a word of knowledge for his back, and I pray for his back, and he gets healed. And afterwards, I'm following him back to the green room, and I said, Todd, that's not right. You don't know the whole story. You got your own story wrong. You don't know this, but Charity Cook's mother was out in the foyer. And on the way out, you prayed for her legs. And then you walked off. She got healed right then. Todd, you didn't get out of the building till you had your first healing. Jeremiah Johnson told me, said, I hitchhiked all the way up to Virginia when you were doing this Voice of the Prophets. I hitchhiked there, and the power of God came upon me in that impartation meeting, and that's when all of a sudden things began to break loose. And the power of God just began to anoint him in a fresh way. I think of Carol Berg, who was the first night of Toronto. Carol Berg was an RN who wasn't able to work, who was had two terminal illnesses, had been depressed, so very badly depressed because she's been sick for so long. I don't know any of that. And as we're praying for it wasn't very many people there, 120 or so. Anyway, when I prayed for her, she fell down flat on her butt, back up against the chair. And so she's not like this, not parallel, just like that. And I went up to her and I prayed for her, and she starts laughing. And I turned and I walked away, and the Holy Spirit said, go back and pray for her again and tell her she's been sad too long. So I went back to her and said, God told me to tell you, you've been sad too long. And then I did like this and went, take another drink. And she got drunk. Literally drunk, had to be driven home, just drunk in the spirit. And it was amazing. And I remember thinking, wow, God, that was so powerful. And then every time I'd go to Toronto for the next many years, every time I'd see her, she's drunk. And I misjudged her. I thought she started out in the spirit, ended up in the flesh. She's found her identity in being the church drunk. Horrible judgment. But I didn't know all the rest of the story. Be careful in our judgments when you don't know the rest of the story. And so I'm writing a book called There Is More. I sent out an email, said, if you got touched in one of my meetings, would you write me your story? And I'm open this letter and I start reading this letter and I realize this is Carol Burr. This is that woman. And now I'm reading the rest of the story. She said, every time I get around you, I get drunk. And I realize she's not drunk all the time, just when she gets around me. And that made more sense. But what really made more sense was she said, but after that happened, God healed me both of my terminal illnesses in that visitation. I was healed. He healed me of my depression, my severe depression. And he called me to be a healing evangelist. And I go to Scandinavia more than anywhere. And one trip in Scandinavia, I go up. And I didn't know this, but there had been this woman. And she's ready to have the baby. It's like a week or 2 weeks. It's just she's like 9 months pregnant. And she hadn't noticed any feeling, any movement for several days. She went to the doctor. The doctor examined her and said, I am so sorry to tell you, but there is no heartbeat. Your baby has died, and you are going to have to give birth to a stillborn child. Carol Berg didn't know that. If she had have known it, it might have been a little harder to do what she did, because when she got into that meeting, that she saw the woman is so pregnant. She doesn't know that the baby is dead. She runs over and puts her hands on her abdomen and just starts saying, I bless your baby. 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 2 years later, she walked back into that church, and the mother said to her little two-year-old son, that's the woman who blessed you when you were dead in my womb. And that little boy ran and jumped into her arms. And I had to call her and say, I am so sorry that I judged you. I had to ask God to forgive me for my judgments, because I didn't know the rest of the story. Be careful in judgments when you don't know all the story. I think of the guy that's Afrikaans in Pretoria. And I'm in this apostolic leader. I'm preaching for him. And he introduces me to this guy. He said, this guy was in Catch the Fire Moscow, where Rex and Lois were with me there too. This guy was in Catch the Fire Moscow. And he says, I received an anointing. After that anointing, in the last 10 or 15 years, God has used me to start 200 churches in Russia. On the first night when Toronto came, when it fell in Toronto, the guy, one of the guys, Patricia, who's, you know, he makes weird faces, and, you know, he went to Russia, went to Ukraine. He's one of the first guys got touched. Matter of fact, he was the first guy that got touched. He took, I think it's 4 or 5 kids, and they moved to Ukraine and Russia. And God used them to plant many churches. He later became a director of the network. I think of Rene of Bola Geneve, Snowball Church. Bola Geneve, it means snowball. He and his wife were cocaine addicts. They got gloriously saved. He had a church of 2,000 or 3,000 in a place where nobody had ever been able to start a church. It was just drug-infested, hard, hard place. God had used him. We went there. He was already being used powerfully. Remember, late, this message came up. He's right here, and there's some type of furniture right there, and he's right here, and I prayed, and he fell this way, and now he's between the stage and that piece of furniture, and the power of God is going through him. And we prayed for about an hour, continued to pray for more people. He's one of the first ones we prayed for. We left, had dinner, came back 2 hours later. He's still there. He's still shaking. He's still sweating. At the Send, right before COVID hit, at the Send Brazil, he came up to me and he was telling me about that. He said, I have churches all over the world now. I went from an anointed pastor to an apostolic ministry, and I have churches all over the world in these types of surfer communities. He said, I'll never forget what happened to me in that visitation. I think of Anibo. I was with Omar Cabrera, a famous healing evangelist in Argentina. And his son, Omar Jr., said, Randy, we have 75 pastors and their mates lined up here. Prophesy over them. I said, Omar, I wished I could, but I don't have the gift of prophecy. I have the gift of word of knowledge, but I don't have the gift of prophecy. He said, prophesy over him. I said, I would if I could, but I can't because I don't move in that gift. Prophesy over him. I said, Omar, I can't. Randy, prophesy. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of those people can speak English? None. Okay, I'll try. But If what I say, you know them, if what I say doesn't seem to be right, don't translate me. Boy, that's a great context to experiment. I got through, and I wished I could say I lived there, but I don't live there. This is not, I've only had a few times in my life when that happened. But anyway, and when we got done, Omar Jr. said, Randy, we've had prophets come that wasn't that accurate. I was very excited. But during that, I got this one guy named Nanibo, and the word was, God's going to make you a minister of fire. You're going to go through all 465 churches in this movement, and then God's going to take you to Canada, then the United States, and then Great Britain. And the fire God hit him, knocks him down, he's shaking, and that's all I knew for years. Then he called me years later through a translator, and he said, everything you said happened, but what you need to know is the rest of the story. The next day, an angel showed up in my house with a torch of fire. He stuck it into my mouth, pushed it into my stomach, and I went out. And for 20 days, I could not walk under my own power. And two other pastors would pick me up, and I'd put my arms around them. They'd carry me into a church. I'd lift my hand up like that, and whole sections would go out. He said they nicknamed me the Minister of Fire. Later, I met him. He had a card, Minister of Fire. He said, I have just left Canada. I'm in the United States. My next stop is Great Britain. It's all coming to pass. I believe in prophecy. I believe in the power of prophecy. I remember being in Singapore. And in Singapore, we had this meeting where we went for impartation. There's 8 to 10,000 people were there in this building. And I remember what happened that day was a day for doctors, medical doctors. And Dr. Philip Wu, I'd had dinner with him, and I prayed for him. I wasn't expecting anything to happen. I literally was not expecting anything to happen. It wasn't like I had a great faith God's going to touch him. I didn't. I thought we'd had dinner together. I'll just bless him. And he fell out and shook behind the curtain for hours. And now, every year, I get an email with a whole list of conditions that he's seen healed in his medical practice. And in that same meeting, two doctors, a son-in-law and father-in-law from Sri Lanka, both of them received an anointing for healing. And power. One, the son, you know, almost anything with bones they prayed for, and he went back to Sri Lanka, was getting healed. 2 years ago, and again this year, in Redding, California, I met Jonathan, and I'm trying to think of his last name, but it escapes me right now. But he and his brother are both surgeons. Their father is a pastor. They're both pastors and surgeons. And he was telling me, they've seen God do things. I said, well, tell me a good story. You know I'd have to ask that. I love stories. He said, well, I think one of the best stories, we had this really dangerous surgery, it was like very high risk, and the person didn't make it. We did everything there was to do as a surgeon, you know, with the paddles and shocking and adrenaline and everything you're supposed to do. We did it all. And the person didn't live. And we're actually putting the body in a body bag to take to the morgue. And the Holy Spirit spoke. And that's the key. The Holy Spirit spoke. Put your hands in one more time and pray for him. He did. And he came back to life. It's hard not to believe.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force.
Today, Global Awakening, Voice of the Prophets in Mechanicsburg, Dr. Randy Clark.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.